Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pretty Boy Podcast. Here, I'm your host, Pretty Boy Chris, and this podcast is brought to you by the Rage Game Network Podcast and Rage Game Network Podcast Crew. Welcome back, Ragers, to the Pretty Boy Podcast. I am your host, Pretty Boy Chris, and, well, welcome back to, I believe this is episode 20 of the Pretty Boy Podcast here. Been going strong for a little bit, and today's date here, well, it's kind of crappy out, not gonna lie. It's been a few months since the last recording, but, well, life happens, so. Rage Game Network, I believe last week, from when this recording comes out, I know they mentioned that we've been really busy. We really have been between myself, Andy, Connor, Ben, and Sarah. There's a lot going on. There has been a lot going on. So, you know, again, we apologize for not being as active as we would like to be. I think everyone's having a blast playing Baldur's Gate 3. I know myself, Ben, and Connor have been playing it nonstop. I stopped briefly here just because there's some other things going on, but I'm trying to get back into it, which we'll maybe talk about maybe doing a quick little... I'll talk to Ben and Connor and see if we can get together sometime and do maybe like a quick little review on the game, see where we are, what we our characters are, what we've done so far, and see how things turn out. So that'd be a good thing to do. But Andy and Ben happened to hint something in last week's episode of the Rage Game Network podcast. So I figured, well, since they hinted at it, might as well address the elephant in the room. And what is that elephant in the room? So they mentioned it. They talked about something professionally might happen where I might not be at least actively involved in Rage Game Network podcasts, being one of the co-hosts, which is true. That is a possibility. I don't have the final answer right now, but I'll talk a little bit about it because I think it's really important that we discuss this because it could change the way that things are being done between Rage Game Network and podcasts. Rage Game Network itself, and then my podcast, Pretty Boy Podcast, because I expect that there might be a couple more episodes here and then a longer delay while things happen. So, yes, they've hinted at it. I might be potentially moving. I might potentially be getting a new job. Not in New York. I'm kind of waiting to hear back on the final results. I interviewed... The last few weeks, I've been interviewing with a hospital down in the Jacksonville, Florida area, which I believe we had a few people who listen from Jacksonville, from what I looked at the stats. So that's a good thing. I'll be down there if everything works well. The job falls into life safety and emergency management type stuff, which is really what I like. I really enjoy that kind of stuff of how to manage disasters and emergencies. And how to keep the hospitals running in these types of scenarios that I've been working at. So, again, there's no official, yes, it's happening. It's kind of right now up in the air. I interviewed, like I said, the last couple of weeks between who would be my bosses and the leadership team at the hospital. So they have to make a decision on if they're going to hire me or not. So that's what we're waiting for, is we're waiting for the leadership team to get back, I guess, Wednesday coming up here when I'm recording. And within probably 2 weeks of this recording, I probably will have an answer on whether I will be moving or if I'll be staying up here in Rochester, New York. So we will see if any news comes out about that, anything that's going to change. I will definitely keep y'all informed, Ragers, because... I think that's a huge thing that's going to change a lot of the ways things are being done at Rage Game Network. But, potentially might change things, how things are getting done. I didn't put in this episode, but I did go see a few months back the Gran Turismo movie. which I did mention on, I think, Rage Game Network's Facebook page that I would do a review. I started doing research because I wanted to make sure I hit everything properly for the movie review on my point of view, but also like what's fact and what's fiction based on the movie. I expect that probably, if I can sit down and knock it out sometime this week, we should see something maybe in the next month or so. That'd be really nice, just to kind of give you guys a heads up. I mean, the movie's been out for a while. If you're interested, you probably have seen it. If you're not interested, you're probably not going to go see it. But I'll give you my point of view and what I think about it. I was pleasantly surprised. Just an overall right here before, and I'm not going to go into details. I was pleasantly surprised. I liked it. It's a racing movie. Okay. But I'll tell you, it was good. It was good. You could tell that they did their homework and research on Gran Turismo, and they were able to incorporate some of the elements in the game into the movie. And this movie is actually based off a real life story that happened. Probably 20 years ago now. Again, not gonna go into huge spoilers, but yeah, it's definitely not the typical video game movie, if that makes sense. And I have a feeling we'll have a longer discussion in there about video game movies and how they have been portrayed recently and how this kind of is a different to that. So we'll leave that for another topic for another day. Alrighty. So on today's Pretty Boy podcast, we're going to talk about a couple of topics here today. So we're going to start off in our mini topics. Couple things we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. You can now pre-order the game. We'll let you know a little bit about that, where you can get it, when you can pre-order it, and when is the game coming out. We're going to talk, the second one is about a Pokemon Easter egg that we found out from years ago that we didn't know that was hidden in the original Pokemon game, which I kind of thought that was cool. So you'll see that in there. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. We'll talk about in a mini topic also, Microsoft's claiming Sony is releasing a PS5 Slim this year, which we just recently got confirmed that is true. So I will talk more about that. That just happened not that long ago. And then for main topics today, we're going to talk about potentially a Red Dead Redemption remake. Okay. So we'll talk about that and how the fans feel about, hey, let's, if Rockstar decides to do this and do a Red Dead Redemption remake, you know, are the fans going to like it or are they going to say, absolutely not? So, they had announced, and it's out now, some of these topics are a little bit older just because I didn't get to produce it earlier. But we'll talk a little bit about the Lord of the Rings, the card game announcements that were made prior to October, and we'll let you know if they're out or what's going to happen with that. Because I think that's a cool one to take a look at, especially the card games. We don't spend a lot of time on the channel talking about card games. I know we do a lot of tabletop and video games, but card games are actually kind of cool when you really look at it. After that, we're going to take a break. Topic three, after the break, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about Microsoft wanting to get rid of console exclusives. We started talking about this in Rage Game, and I believe we kind of, we'll side that conversation for another day. So we're having the conversation here on Pretty Boy Podcast because I want to give at least Microsoft's point of view on this, and there's a lot of discussion that can be had here, and it's could happen between here and Pretty Boy Podcasts, Rage Game Network Podcast. So this might continue. It's like some of our continuous discussions we have. This could be one that continues, but at least this one, we're going to talk more about the Microsoft side of it. And then we'll briefly talk about the Apple versus Epic Game lawsuit that is going on. So that one should be an interesting one to talk about. I don't know how I feel. I feel mixed about it, but I'd love to see that one. Talk about a little bit about that. And we'll get into our Pretty Boys game of the week at the end. So yeah, we got a lot to go on here, so bear with me as we get through this this episode. But yeah, so the first mini topic we're going to talk about is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So on August 30th, there was a state of play that released earlier in the year that announced that they were going to release the game February 29th, 2024. Like I said, around August 30th, that's when Square Enix released the pre-order, so you can order the game ahead of time, obviously. So in February, you can get it on the first day. So check that out. Places that you can pre-order the game, you can get it on Amazon. You can get on Best Buy, Walmart, GameStop, Target. Those are a couple of places. I think I saw, you know, obviously like PlayStation Store, because this is going to be exclusive for PlayStation. You can obviously order it there. So keep that in mind. But yeah, it's, if you just so you know, if you already have a saved file of Final Fantasy VII Remake. I was reading an article outside of this one on GameStop Spot that actually will, your actions and decisions in that game will play into this Rebirth. So they do consider your game save file if you have one for that. So that's something to consider and keep an eye on. But we didn't talk about, and I didn't see this because, like I said, it's a mini topic. There are going to be some exclusive pre-order bonuses when you order it. I'll read it real quick, but it looks like one of them is going to be a Midgar Bangle MK2 armor bracelet you can get. You can also get some bonus content. Like we said, if you had those save files from Final Fantasy VII Remake, which if you've played the remake, this is the second game in the in that series of games. I think they're going to do three, to my knowledge. Yeah, if you do have that, says here, you'll get the, you'll unlock the summons material, Leviathan. And then if you have the DLC, I think it was Intermission DLC, you'll also unlock a other summons materia, Rahan. If you order from Amazon, you're actually going to get, and I'm looking at it right now, an exclusive DualSense control skin for your controller when you pre-order. So it's got, looks like Cloud and Sephiroth on each side with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth in the center portion. Looks really cool to have on your console. I mean, controller. And then GameStop, I believe they have a themed trucker hat that you can get. So if you go, obviously, to certain places, you can get certain things. Depends. They do have a deluxe and a collector's edition. So if you're interested in that, check in the show notes below. Actually, I still have them all here. And actually, I'm just looking at it. The collector's edition is sold out. So you can only get right now the deluxe edition and the standard edition of the game. You can pre-order them, like I talked about, Best Buy, Amazon, Walmart, Target, and obviously the PlayStation Store if you want to get that. Okay. Let's go into our second mini topic for today. So the second mini topic that we have here today is Pokemon Red and Green have a secret Easter egg. And guess what? None of y'all figured it out in 27 years. So obviously, Red and Green, which is the blue version, I believe in Japan, I want to say. These are like the very first games in the series for Pokemon. They actually have a hidden Easter egg right under the nose that none of y'all, including myself, realized for the past 27 years since we've been playing Pokemon. So on Twitter, a couple months ago, there's an individual, Junichi Masuda, revealed that Pokemon was born on July 5th, along with a picture of the office that was used in the franchise's early days. That means that a lovely little reference to the creation of Pokemon as an idea has been set under the nose of the longest time, and we just didn't know about it because the exact date of Pokemon's inception had never been publicly made until today. So check the article. It'll show you, but there's, you can see here, it looks like Ash is looking at a book, and when you click on it, I believe it tells you that. So that's really cool that they did, you know, something a little fun there where they have the diary, they had the date in this one area of the map. So yeah, really cool. Definitely kind of a little wink at, hey guys, this is when Pokemon was created. So really cool. I hope people do like that kind of stuff. I do like that. It's really nice when you, especially if you're like a newer studio, or you create a franchise and it becomes like very popular, right? You do something like this. You throw like little hints and Easter eggs in your games that maybe your players will pick up at some point. But then again, back in the day, we didn't play games like we play them now. So like for this to go by for 27 years, I mean, I'm shocked it went that long. But yeah, it is what it is. All right. Our last mini topic here today is Microsoft claiming that Sony is releasing a PS5 Slim this year. Well, the article I have here comes right around the time when Microsoft was at a trial with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. And they were, through discovery and talking about what information they have, they had signs and rumored indicating that Sony was obviously going to make a PS5 Slim. They were saying that it was going to be very close to the price of digital version. And that it's going to be less expensive, yada, 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 right? So they're producing all this information showing, hey, this is what we're looking at. We think this is what's going to happen. Right, to kind of argue their case in court with the FTC. Well, what I can tell you is, yes, there had been, I was just looking at another article, the PS5 Slim sounds like it is happening from Sony, and that there has not been, I don't believe there has been a release date or pre-order yet. That's what I'm trying to figure out right now. So it looks like November, actually. So very shortly here, we're going to see a PS5 Slim this holiday season, which is good, and I expected this was going to happen. Especially, PlayStation is known to do this kind of thing. So that's cool. You know, have a Slim version, just like everyone else. They're looking at... it's actually going to be a newer version, but whatever. That's something to think about. Yeah, the price on these are going to be, it looks like, right around in the US, what, digital PS5 is about $450, $500 for the Ultra HD Blu-ray device. So something to consider. Yeah, that had been, but it had been confirmed previously that they are going to do a slimmed version of PlayStation 5, and I could see that. I mean, PlayStation's been known to do that for the last couple years with their Slim devices, so why not if that's the route you want to go? All right. Let's go into main topic number one for today. And main topic number one today, we're going to discuss about Red Dead Redemption. So, there's an article here from The Gamer. It talks about how there had been discussions at Rockstar Games about potentially releasing a remaster or remake of the first Red Dead Redemption game. Right? So when this all happened, right, we had just had the release of the GTA trilogy. So this was the Divine Trilogy, GTA 3. Vice City and San Andreas onto various PCs and consoles, And if you guys don't remember, that didn't go very well for Rockstar. I'm looking at a picture here, and one of the CJ's girlfriend in the San Andreas game, I'm looking at the one from the original and the one from the remaster. The remaster looks bad. It looks horrible. She doesn't even look, she looks like a robot. At least in the other one, the original, she looks kind of like a person. I mean, yeah, it's pretty straight. It doesn't really look like it's much there, but there's some details. The other one does, it looks horrible. It's bad. So yeah, like we keep talking about, this whole trilogy and things have been going on, and Rockstar's learned the lessons from the GTA trilogy, but I guess there was a rumor prior to when all this was going on that Rockstar was looking at remaking Red Dead Redemption. I haven't seen any indication that they are going to do it. It's still kind of in that rumor mill. In my opinion, I think Rockstar is going to pull the let's wait and see, or you know what, maybe this is not the time for that. I mean, I know for a fact that Red Dead Redemption 2 did really well, so I could see why they wanted to go down that road, but I could see that they're going to hold their cards, hold their cards back. They're not going to play their cards yet on that, because there's no way. I can't see them right now creating a new Red Dead Redemption remake or remaster, just the way things went with GTA trilogy, definitive trilogy. It was bad. It was really bad. And I watched some videos on it. Oh, the rain, I know, looked bad in the game. It looked better in the old one. I'd rather play the old one then at that point. So yeah, but you know what? Hey, guys, let us know on our social media platforms, and we've got our links down at the bottom here in the show notes, what you think. Do you think that Red Dead Redemption should have a remake or a remaster, or do you think they should not think about doing that? So when you got some time, get down into the show notes. Find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Discord. Get in there. Get into the groups. Join the groups. Talk to other community members like yourselves that are in there, and let us know what you think. Do you think that they should remake or remaster Red Dead Redemption, Rockstar? We'd like to know. We want to see what we hear from our fans. Okay, so our second topic before we go to, so our last topic before break that we're talking about is the Lord of the Rings, the game card announcement, which now is out. So we'll talk a little bit about this card game that just came out not too long ago. I think within the last month or so. Fantasy Flight Games has announced that they were working on an expansion, which they have since this news released, for Lord of the Rings card game. The expansion involves reprints of the older versions, but with revisited artwork and streamlined elements. What they did in this one, I believe, is they focus a lot on the Two Towers aspect of the expansion. So it allowed players to recreate the Battle of Helm's Deep, the End's confrontation with Sauron, and Frodo's journey through the marsh, Dead Marshes, if you remember from the Lord of the Rings books and movies. It also includes 60 playable heroes and characters. Those who've been longtime players of this Lord of the Rings card game will recognize that you probably own some of these cards. If you already have the Treason of Sauron and the Land of Shadow expansions, then there's really, this card game expansion is not going to have any new content for you. You already have them. This is just the shinier new brand of those card games. And then the last thing here, the Two Towers expansion is available right now. You can get them on the store. You'll see the show notes below where you can get that. It sounds like it's going to be $69.99 for those cards, and I'm going to just verify that before we get going. The cards look beautiful. I actually really like them. I don't know if I'm going to get some, but I definitely would consider getting some. Sorry, I was trying to go to the store. I didn't see anything. But yeah, no, if you're interested, take a look at the down here. You should be able to get them anywhere now because it is out. It came out, I think, October 6th for the cards. You can go to any game store and get these, or You can find them wherever you find your game, trading card games. So, all right. So what we're going to do here, we're going to take a quick little break here while things are the way they are. And we will see you guys back on the other side. All right. That's it. Ragers, welcome back from the break here. So what we're going to do, we're going to get going on topic number three today. And topic number three today, we are going to be talking about Microsoft wanting to get rid of console exclusives. All right, so I know we've talked, I think we've talked a little bit, we've talked back and forth between this podcast and Rage Game Network podcast about the whole console exclusive content, games, and all that. Okay. So in the article I have here from The Gamer, again, this was early, late June. So this was while all the whole Microsoft FTC trial stuff was going on. At the time, the CEO of Microsoft had been discussing some things about their products and mentioned here that, you know, Microsoft knows the fact that they lack a first party release for their Xbox Series X launch, and that a lot of this console war stuff that we've been talking about, they feel like they place in like third place with the console war. So you're looking at Sony's up there, Nintendo, and then Microsoft. So they talk about this as part of this whole trial. And she states that basically, you know, if it was up to her, there would be nothing. There would be no console exclusives. That everyone would have access to all the games, all the content, all the materials. Right? Which, I get it, because Xbox is, I mean, it has done really well in the past, but they tend to be kind of the third tier gaming, I guess, out of all of them. The big ones, Nintendo and Sony. Right, so they feel like they have to play catch up. So I get it. In their point of view, they're saying, well, if everything was clean slate across the board, everyone had access to every game, every content, we wouldn't have these problems. In theory, that's what I would like. I'd love to have it so there was no console exclusivities, whether it be DLC packs, cosmetic stuff, games, etc. Because yes, I don't believe in alienating your fan base just because you have to play on a PlayStation, just because you have to play on an Xbox, just because you have to play, let's say, on a PC, and it won't come to a console. I do agree with that. I don't think they should be doing that. I think that should have been kind of nicked in the butt a long time ago. Open it up to everyone. Everyone's able to play any game anywhere. But unfortunately, that's kind of in the last, we'll just say, you know, 30 years, that's been kind of a thing of, oh, well, there's exclusive rights that each studio can pay for to get their own content published. And there's some first party studios games that I've even played where only on the PlayStation that they're really good. And there's some on the Xbox side, you know, that I've played in the past. Like I think about Halo before PC came out, ported to the PC, played it before just on the Xbox, and it's good. I mean, if you're just focusing on that console and just handling the system there, yeah, absolutely, it could be great. But also, you know, it is nice if you can open your horizon to others' games. And I think part of this discussion, why it's being mentioned too, and as it says in here, right, is that Sony's pretty much dominated the market. They claim that, you know, Sony's the dominant player in the gaming industry, which I don't know. I think they are strong. They have a strong position. I don't know if they're dominating Microsoft and Xbox. I think Xbox with the PC has a stronger case and stand because a lot of their stuff transfers. So if I have a PC game, here's a good example. Call of Duty, right? if I have a Call of Duty game on a, let's say, Xbox Series X or S, and I have an Xbox game on the PC, generally speaking, all that information is going to be transferable, and I can still pick up the game on the PC like on the Xbox. I think most people know that that can happen, right? Where between Microsoft and Sony, you know, that information doesn't get shared very well. So that's a possibility. You know, it is what it is, you know, and it's very hard to do that. And it's cross-platform is the big one. You know, I think if there was a lot more cross-platform and cross-saving across the board, then I think the exclusivity doesn't need to be there, in my opinion. But what the CEO happened to mention here, and I'll read the quote here. She says, "I would love to get rid of the entire exclusivity on consoles, but that's not for me to define, especially as a low share player in the console market, that the dominant player, Sony, has defined market competition using exclusivities. I have no love for that world." Yeah, so as you can tell, she's not a huge fan. She does not want to see that. But, you know, looking at it now, Sony, you know, Bethesda is with Xbox. And a lot of their games are Xbox exclusive right now. There is no in the works plans for Sony and other products to have like a Starfield. So I think it's a good conversation. We go back and forth about this. This article, and I'm going to, it'll keep coming in here that, you know, she keeps arguing they're probably the weakest player on the console market. They're, you know, it's easy for them to make claims and what they want to do in the future. And, you know, if, like I kind of mentioned, if the situation flipped and let's say Microsoft was in Sony's position, they would probably grab as many IPs as possible and have as many exclusives as they would argue today. Because honestly, you know, they were pretty dominant, in my opinion, and it says here in the article, and I agree with this, they were pretty dominant in the first, like, two generations of Xbox. I mean, Xbox and Xbox 360 were probably, like, the most dominant consoles, even over the PS2 and the PS3. So I just think the pages have been flipped, the scripts have turned on Microsoft. I think it's a good conversation to have every once in a while about, hey, you know, what do you think about exclusives? And that's a good conversation to bring out to you Ragers and the Rage Game Network community is down below. Like I mentioned, social media is down there. If you've got anything that you want to mention to us about how you feel about if consoles should have exclusivities, content and games, do you agree with that? Or do you think, you know, they really shouldn't have to, you know, I've been kind of going back and forth. Personally, I think they shouldn't, but that's just my personal opinion. I think I should be able to play anything on anything, but that's just me. But, it, you know, tell us about your opinions. So down below in the show notes, go to Rage Game Network social media pages and post down there what you think about if there should be exclusivities for consoles or should there not be. You know, let us know in on the social media platforms that we have. Okay, so our last topic we're going to talk about today is Apple versus Epic Games. So they recently had a last, Apple had a last ditch effort, long story short, in an antitrust case. So they started filed a lawsuit against Epic Games, I guess because Epic Game is cutting into Apple's sales and products. So it got brought up to the courts. You know, what they're saying here is that Epic rolled out Fortnite, which allowed gamers to purchase digital coins through their direct pay feature, which apparently this move violated Apple's policy, which requires all iOS games to use in-app purchases and gave Apple a 30% cut of the profits from using that currency in Epic Games. So that led to Apple removing Fortnite, right? So this has been ongoing, and Epic is suing Apple right now to ensure its unfair and anti-competitive actions. So this is where this antitrust case is kind of coming out for Epic. You know, what I can tell you is that it's been a back and forth. Apple kind of is in its own right is a monopoly, right? You know, it. We just had an article here that kind of just said that their lawyers are claiming that, you know, what we're talking about here with this whole thing with Fortnite and not supporting Fortnite and Epic Games, it's a mess. It's a mess about allowing like third party app stores. And there's so much more that goes into this. And, you know, I get it. You got to, you know, Epic Games, I think, and Apple need to come to the table. Then they talk to each other, figure out what type of deal they're going to create. But I get where Apple's coming from. They're not making a lot of money because Epic Games is getting all the funding where Apple wants the money, right? They want a piece of the pie. And because of that, right, Apple's removing Fortnite from their apps and they're going after Epic because they're not getting the money they want and it violates their policies. You know, and through the lawsuits and the rulings that we've seen here, it sounds like that, you know, it really is something they have to figure out. It's not really something that the courts can figure out in the filing that we can see here. But they were asking for an injunction on this matter. And I guess the European Union regulators are looking at allowing third-party app stores by 2024. So that would mean Apple would have to comply with that and change their policies and rules. So, yeah, that's kind of a weird, different one that Apple wants to take Epic Games to Supreme Court about their profits and rulings. And, you know, and just looking at it, I don't really see a reason why. Per se, I think they need to figure out themselves. I think what's going to come out of this is could be a landmark historic case of, do we allow third-party apps? Can they make money off of other companies, or do they need to share the profits? I could see something like that pops up in the future for Apple and Epic Games. So I don't know. That's just something you got to look at some point, and hopefully we'll get the answer to that in the coming months here. All right, so that's going to be it for the main topics for the Pretty Boy podcast. So before we go here, we're going to do Pretty Boy's Game of the Week. And for this week, I have selected Pretty Boy's Game of the Week to be, drum roll please, Ratchet & Clank Drift Apart. It was originally a PS5 exclusive. It is now available for the PC. Also, which PlayStation has been doing a really good job of mixing in their games with the PC and still having on PlayStation. I think it's a smart move for them to start having more of a, instead of being exclusive to PC, start working with other companies and bring them to other platforms, their IP addresses, first parties. So first off, we'll read the description here on the Steam page. And it says here, blast your way through an interdimensional adventure with Ratchet and Clank, now on PC. Help them take on the evil emperor from another reality as you jump between action-packed worlds and beyond at hyper speed. Overall, all the ratings have been very positive. I haven't seen anything horrible about this game. Looks like 3,810 reviews have been made very positive. The game on the PC was released in July 26, 2023 on Steam. The developers of the game are Insomniac Games and Nix Software. And then obviously the publisher will be PlayStation PC LLC. So PlayStation Studios probably is releasing and publishing it. You can get the game now for $59.99 at the store here on Steam. There's been a couple patches the last couple months here. You can look at it, and what I can tell you is I've played Ratchet & Clank on PlayStation, played the original trilogy 1, 2, and 3. There's so many other games. It's not just this. But Drift Apart looked really good when it came out. It was a PS5 exclusive at the time. I think it was fall 2022 when it came out originally. I can tell you it's good. I like it. I really enjoyed it, and I really think that all of you are going to enjoy it. You'll get to meet Ratchet and Clank, our main heroes, in this game, and I do not remember the others that are involved, but there's some others that are part of the adventure. But yeah, it looks really good. Dr. Nefarious, Emperor Nefarious looks really good in this. you know, your companion and you as the Lombox. He looks really good. Jump. It looks like when you're jumping through the portals, that looks really cool from what I can see of a Ratchet. I'm trying to see what else we got here, but yeah, the everyone who's been part of the series is looks really good. And like I said, because I've been a fan of the Ratchet and Clank series since the early, I think it was early 2000s. It all looks great. I just have to play at some point when I have some time to sit down and get to this. So yeah, very good. Real quick, we'll take a couple recommendations for y'all. Like I said, if you're a fan of the series, then you'll like this. If you haven't played the series, I recommend playing it because I think you're going to like this fairly much. All right, so we're going to take a look at a couple of these. I'll talk about them. Leadforge, he's played about 6 hours of the game. He just posted not too long ago, "This game is amazing. I wanted to play this game when it released. When it released on the PS5, but I couldn't justify spending $600 or more just to play one game." And I agree. I mean, the original, when this originally got released, there wasn't a ton of games for the PlayStation 5, so why spend your money on one game? "But after 2 years of avoiding spoilers, I could finally play it on the PC. The controls are great on mouse and keyboard. The story is wonderful. There aren't any big game-breaking bugs, so one of the better AAA releases this year, in my opinion. Please go play this game." So Sony had the release to the other Ratchet and Clank games on port. Okay. So yeah, that was a good one by Leadforge there. Bannerin has played about 19 hours of the game. "This is your typical Ratchet and Clank game, but on PC. Travel worlds in search for ways to progress in the story, fight monsters with unique weapons, then level them up. I had a blast playing it. It's also filled with your typical dry humor." It has some dry humor, let me tell you, and some adult content in there, so just be aware of that. "Do know, however, that it is not a very big game. I completed the game in under 20 hours with all 47 achievements. Probably best to buy it on sale." So and there's a bunch. They're all recommending it. They're very impressed. If you are a fan of the series, I can see a couple in here. Like, "I really like Ratchet and Clank games, so this is a big one for me. Bring back multiplayer. I would love to play multiplayer at some point. That would be wonderful." But yeah, Ratchet and Clank Drift Apart, like I said, you can get it on the PlayStation or you can get it at the Steam Deck. Steam, $59.99. Really good ratings, and it's been a really good franchise that most of us have played on Rage Game Network. So before we finish up here with the podcast, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time out of their busy lives to listen to the Pretty Boy podcast. If you would like to get merchandise or listen to the podcast, what I recommend is go to www.ragegamenetwork.com. That's our website. You can go there and get merchandise. You can check out where you can listen to our podcasts. We are sponsored by and supported by Spotify, but there are other methods out there, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. So if you really like the content, you know, hit that like button, subscribe, follow, give 5 stars, give the thumbs up, do all that fun, fancy stuff that each platform does. We do get to see that. It is really nice when we get to see those things, knowing how good we're doing. And we want feedback, so please feel free to give us the feedback on how we're doing. Are we doing good? Do we need to improve upon things? Let us know what you think about Rage Game Network and the Pretty Boy Podcast. Let's see. You can find RGN on also some other social media platforms, like I've mentioned, Facebook, Instagram, Discord, and YouTube. The links are down below. Please feel free to reach out to us, talk to us, get to know us, get to know the community members. Let us know what you think. We love you guys. So you can also email us if you've got a question about Pretty Boy Podcast or Rage Game Network Podcast at ragers@ragegamenetwork.com. If you're looking for myself, Pretty Boy Chris, you can find me on Facebook, Discord, Twitch, YouTube. Links are down in the below. If you want to just email me personally, because I do have my own personal email, you can email me at blahblah0267@gmail.com. That's blahblah0267@gmail.com. And also while we're at it, if you're posting anything on social media, feel free to have the hashtags down below. Feel free to hashtag social medias with hashtag Raging Out, hashtag Ragers, hashtag Rage Game Network, hashtag RGN, and hashtag Pretty Boy Chris. That'd be greatly appreciated from our community members. And then obviously, if you are going to on any of these platforms talk about Rage Game Network or Pretty Boy Podcast, feel free to use that @ and add us and mention us at Rage Game Network or at Pretty Boy Podcast. All right. And that's really all that I have here today. Probably going to be working on another episode in a moment here. So thank you everyone for listening to me and the Pretty Boy Podcast. And I hope you enjoy your day and, you know, keep your families and other loved ones safe. All right. Hashtag Raging Out.